please click the subscribe button and the notification icon. It will help us a lot.
Hi, this is Rodrigo from Level Up, and today, guest, I'm very happy to introduce to you Elnaz Sharaf. So she's the founder of Roybee Robot, which is the first smart toy to teach 7 languages. They had an amazing Indiegogo campaign that ended up with 487 backers, and they got $103.363. They also got funded recently in July, and they got in a seed round for $4.2 million. And this, to be honest, the product that they have designed is amazing. Apparently they are trying to focus on something that looks like a toy so you can teach kids languages. But I think this is the first, what this podcast is about, to try to talk with people who are creating the technology of the future. And I think that this is a very interesting view of what we can expect of the new education methods in the future. So without any further ado, welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. It is so exciting speaking with you. And thank you for all the great feedback about Roybee.
No problem. So how did you get this idea? Because this is one of the reasons why I'm starting these interviews, like to try to get these histories and this knowledge from these kind of ideas, because let's be honest, it's not many people who wake up one day and say, okay, let's invent a robot that can teach 7 languages to kids.
It takes years, that I can tell you.
I can imagine. that definitely looks not easy.
Yes. The story is long, but I will try to make it short for you. Before starting Roybee, I was one of the co-founders of iBaby, which is baby monitors. And for that reason, I spent over 5 years with parents, you know, talking with them, continuously asking about, you know, what they need for their children, especially when they grow up. And education was always something that would come up. And it is also very, very personal to me, especially, you know, when it comes to the education for little kids. After about 3 years of research, we realized, you know, the education system currently is truly outdated. They teach children exactly the same way. You know, it's like no longer one size fits all makes any sense anymore. So with the advanced technology we have today, we did a lot of research and realized that there are no good tools or products on the market that can actually make a huge difference on early childhood education. That's why we came up with the idea of Roybee, to be able to help children to learn based on their own ability and interests. And when you think about it, no longer any child should be labeled as having any sort of learning disability, because every child is unique, right? With Roybee, our aim and mission is to help children to learn based on how they can perform, so they no longer will feel left behind. And the reason we came up with the idea to start with language learning and development, if you think about it, when people, especially children, can communicate, they can actually learn about any other skill. So it's a building block of any other communication skills or other skills they can learn along the way in their lives. And that's how we started Roybee.
And this is really amazing, because this is something that I can really relate. As you say, there is a lot of kids out there who are being treated like they are not good at learning. Well, yes. Maybe it's the fault of the, as you say, this one method fits all. And I hated school. Like, I really, really hated school. I went badly at it. I was very, very lucky to not regress a year. Like I graduated in the time that I should have done, and I never repeated any year, but I was really close many, many, many times. And for example, Spanish is my first language, and I always fail at English. There was even 2 years where I completely failed English, and I had to do like extracurricular activities to try to nivellate the grade and pass on. And for a long time, like for all the time that I was in a school, I thought I was dumb at it. I thought I was dumb at learning. And then internet came, and I was able to get access to comics, to video games, to movies. And that's how I learned English, like playing RPG games, reading comics, watching movies, watching series. Because again, coming from a Latin America background, the only things that we could find online back then was in English. So
yes,
that was my teacher, and I got really good at it, to the point that I have a lot of interview shows. And but looking back, it's like I thought I suck at it. I really thought I suck at it.
Yes, it really shouldn't be that way. And, you know, unfortunately, our education system is, and the standards and the way actually we do assessment on children is really bad. Some of the countries, for example, like China, it's like totally crazy. I travel to China a lot, and I learn about the school system. At some point, I even heard that they, in some of the like villages and regions, they even beat the kids because they don't perform well. And it is so sad, because look at you, you know, you are doing an amazing job right now. You know, you're successful, you're doing what you love. But just because you were not interested at a subject at school, that doesn't mean, you know, you wouldn't be able to be successful. So that's not right. And that's what we really want to make a difference. And of course, it's really hard to make this change within the school system. So that's why we are starting this change between the whole environment. And then gradually, kids can also take their little baby robot to schools, you know, gradually interact with the teachers and learn about the subjects that they are really interested in. And even the ones that are not, they're not really interested in, we have some plans. For example, let's say if a child likes cats, but he or she doesn't like counting, maybe we can, you know, add content that counts the cats, right? Why should we make everything standard? And it's a lot of work that I can tell you for the past 2.5 years and still ongoing, but we have a very strong mission. And to be honest with you, we truly want to make history by changing the way children get educated these days.
I think you're in a really good path to change history, because one of the reasons that I kind of smile when you mentioned that there are some places where they beat up kids is because I was one of those cases. In our school, we have the principal, the vice principal, and we had one guy who was the discipline guy, and this guy had like a whole set of sticks. Yeah. Like he had the worst was the pallets the pallets that you buy to mix the painting. He had a couple of those to beat us with that was really bad, and also some very thin long sticks. And I have to admit, part of it was our fault, because we were like really, really crazy kids back then. And at some level, I have to admit that if it wasn't that case, we wouldn't get calmed down. But on the other hand, I also understand, like, yeah, this is not the way it should be dealing with kids, right?
Yes.
And the thing is that I really had bad luck again. I really had a long line of bad teachers, even through whatever I went through college, which I never finished. But then thanks to the internet, I was able to get a hold of mentors and people who taught me. And that was a big hit, because for my whole life, I had thought I really, really sucked at learning. And when I was 25, I was started learning that I didn't suck at learning. Just the method that was put into me was not the right one for me. And once I had the right method, and I am a very practical person. I need to do things. I am a very visual person as well. But if you go, for example, the audio route, I had a lot of, it took me years to be able to listen to audiobooks because I wasn't able to do it. Or if it was the context of the teacher giving the same class to everybody, I would fall asleep. But on video, on technology, on the right lessons that were very practical for me to take and put into use in business and things like that, that went very natural to me. And and again, like when I see the Robin Robert, it's like, wow, I really wish I had that. You would have saved a lot of pain.
It's not too late. I want to learn Chinese with the little Ruby robot. You know, half of our team is in China. And I feel ashamed that, you know, I can't communicate in Chinese, which I should. So never is too late. You can always learn.
Oh yeah, definitely.
And it will be fun, so much more fun. That I can promise you.
And can you tell us a little bit about the process of creating this, more on the mindset of what it takes to build a robot that teaches effectively?
I can actually speak more about what it takes to even start it, because, you know, I hear a lot of people come to me, you know, they ask about, you know, they ask advice and see if I can mentor them or guide them, and they say, oh, I have this crazy idea, I want to start. Like, okay, wait a second. It takes a long time, a lot of effort, and also capital, so much these days to actually build a company. And for us, you know, it truly started just as an idea, a drawing on a paper from my bedroom, believe it or not, and then it was just me and my co-founder. And within a year, you know, we expanded to just 5 people, and now we are 18 people, and we're growing. It's crazy, but in terms of the process, we did a lot of research actually before starting to really develop this. In the beginning, it wasn't really like this. It was more like, oh, let's create a product, a robot that has all kinds of, you know, educational material. But soon we realized that's not going to work, because every child is unique, so they need to have specific sort of content. It took us about a year. We shaped the concept of Roby. We changed the design at least 3 times. And even for the production of Roby, it took about 1 year, so many changes in the factory, and little by little. And over time, we got to the point that we are today. And all I can say is it takes a lot of, you know, courage from people that they start startups. Because along the way, you have so many problems. You can run out of money, which we did, and you get a lot of rejections, a lot of different feedback, even being able to make the right decision on so much feedback you get from investors, partners, customers. People want so many different things, but sometimes even if you give that to them, still, you know, may not help as much as you thought. So you need to be able to make the right decisions and move forward. So that's really what it took, from idea on a paper 2.5 years ago to gradually getting into alpha version, then beta version, at least 3 times of changes, and then gradually getting into the mass production. And today that I'm talking to you, we already finished our mass production. We are ready for the shipment for the first time, and it's super exciting.
Awesome. And how many years did it take you to go from idea to this point?
For us, 2.5 years.
Wow, that's a lot of time.
When you think about it, it sounds like a lot, but to be honest, I feel like it was just yesterday. because when we started, it just moved so fast. And we really didn't even realize. And when you do something that truly you enjoy it, it just time flies.
Definitely. And the thing is that something that amazed me of this time, and I try to point this out every time I can, because right now the news and the media, it tells you like, oh, the world is crumbling down and everything is bad. And it's like, for me, it is weird because from my point of view, it's like things have never been more amazing. And it's so weird that everything in the media is like chaos all the time. And one of the things that has changed a lot, I think, is this, as you say, like, even though it's hard to get the funding, it's hard to get all these things rolling, if we compare it, let's say, to the time of our grandparents, like there is a lot of difference, right?
Yes.
And even this, like what we're doing right now, having the interview, talking about this break,
yes,
was something that was not possible even 10 years ago. So, or that wasn't that
Absolutely.
Easy. So there are many things that are going into a way where more people have access to funds, to be able to produce their idea, to try to test them into the world. At the same time, the difficulty now that I think is not so much of getting access to that, but because many people have access to that, now the competition is a little bit more fierce.
You know, I always say, you know, people ask me a lot of questions on this matter, and also especially that we deal with data collection and AI. You know, I always believe it really depends on people and how they use things. Even, you know, if let's say if you eat too much chocolate, still it's not going to be good for you, right? And if you use something too much of it, not in a good way, it's going to cause problems. And internet is definitely one of it. And it's really about educating people the advantages and disadvantages of something new that comes to the market, especially for us, considering we deal with robotics, AI, privacy. My goodness, like every day we get emails, questions about people freaking out about the whole thing. But, you know, even your phone that you're holding it every day, it has camera, microphone, listens, but we don't freak out, you know, on that because we are used to it by now. It's just that it's going to take some time for people to adjust to the idea of robotics, data, even internet, as it is growing. And I'm sure gradually we're going to have more regulations to make sure it just doesn't go too crazy. And as you can see, every day there is something new coming up in terms of regulations.
Yeah, definitely. And coming from this experience that you have with this project, what are the changes that you are expecting for the education system? Because I think we can all agree to this point that it badly needs an update.
Yes. Yes. You know, I see a lot of opportunity to truly, truly make a change and make a difference. And there are going to be a lot of amazing companies coming in over the next few years with all the technology that is going to be available. And what I can see, at least that we are starting it now, even with our product, which are our robot, Roivy, I believe and I can see this is going to be the future of education. Because if you really think about it, you know, a lot of people are so busy, parents especially, they cannot really continuously work with their children at home, so Roivy can help. Maybe even because we have internet, maybe a lot of classes can actually get done through communicating with robots, computers, and maybe children spend more time playing outside than just sitting inside the classrooms, right? So I see a lot of changes can come, but it's going to take time because traditionally, anything related to education system it just takes much, much more time to get change. But we have to start somewhere. And we are starting. We are starting. We are one of the companies. We are starting the change. No matter how difficult it is, we are in it all the way.
Yeah, definitely. And this is a nice thing about the internet and technology that, as you say, we are gathering information at a level that never has been done before in the history of mankind. And through the good use of that information, we can create really personalized solutions. So, well, even in marketing right now, like there are, internet has been able to, has made able to, for companies to be able to target to women, to men, to people in the LGBT community, or introverts, extroverts, like all around. And now a car company can create like 7 or 14 different ads for completely different demographics and sociographics. And if that can be done, like I think we can definitely like set up courses. So for example, okay, let's create a course for people who are introverts and extroverts and people who have autism and also people who are maybe less agreeable and they have more this vibe of confrontational on how to deal with that at the same time be more leveled down or people who are very shy and very timid and how to count them to go on the other end and we can create now all these custom solutions that, as you say, like we can now give the kids and instead of pretty much spending time in a classroom sitting down for hours.
Yes.
Now they
which doesn't make sense. It doesn't really make sense because kids really learn through play. You know, we are part of the an accelerator in Finland, XEDU. And if you may know, Finland has the world's number one education system. They spend 2-3 hours max in the classroom. They spend all the other time outside because they believe children will learn when they play, when they have fun, which makes sense, right? And they don't have exams, they don't have assessments or entrance exams that we have or in many other, you know, countries. And they constantly rank number one. So there is something about it. There is a special meaning behind it. But unfortunately, it's difficult for some other countries, including US, to actually recognize this.
Yeah, and to be honest, even Tim Ferriss, which is a very famous entrepreneur, he made a program with this guy who was the world champion in memory. And this guy has pretty much created a lot of resources to help people with memory. One of them is the platform called Memrise, and they have done a lot of studies. And one of the studies that they've shown is that people retain, I think, 30% more information. They are able to understand it better and memorize it if they are in movement, if the body is moving.
Yes.
Than if it is a steel. So one of the techniques that this guy used to kind of memorize and learn languages was that he has like this kind of a stationary bicycle, but it's a special one, the kind of that you just sit and move the feet be in front of you. And while he's studying, he's moving so that he can understand languages better. And as you say, like now that we know that, then the idea of sitting down in the desk for hours
does not—it's not gonna work.
Exactly. Even I now, like I have been able to develop the ability of listening to audiobooks. I take my dog, which is like a really crazy dog, and if I don't walk him outside, he's not gonna let me sleep. So while I'm walking out the dog, I'm listening to audiobooks, and now. Now I'm retaining the information better.
Absolutely. You know, it makes a huge difference. But unfortunately, again, until people realize this, especially that, again, the education system and people following that within the system are a little bit, I would say, traditional. It's not their fault. It's just how the system works. It's just going to take a little bit more time to for them to gradually change and realize, you know, it's going to be different in the future. The way that people learn, especially children, it's just going to be different. It's not going to be the way that our parents learned or even you and I did. It's going to be a completely new environment with new gadgets, new technologies. It's just going to take some time.
Definitely. And what are the plans you have for the Roybee robot? What is, now that you have gotten into production, what is the next step for the company?
Lots and lots of plans for sure. But the immediate plan, at least for the next year, for us is to launch the product into the US and Canada. We are soon also launching into UAE market, which we are super excited, and gradually expand the market in different regions. And as we go on, we will be focusing on adding more languages. So Spanish and Mandarin, Chinese is coming next year. And we will be adding more languages like Arabic, French, we have Russian, Japanese on the plans. Depending on how fast we're going, we will be adding more languages. And ultimately, we will be looking into partnering and piloting with some schools to get more feedback, understand how teachers and students interact with Roybee robot within the classroom setting. This is very different at home. And of course, we truly want to see every child having one little Roybee that they can enjoy learning. And as they grow up and things change, really preparing them for the future, which is really different than what it is today.
Awesome. And I'm going to ask you a very tricky question right now. When you started going into this project, what was something that you didn't expect at all to happen that happened, and it is really important to know for people who want to start into entrepreneurship, into a similar project like this?
I think for us, there are two things that we didn't really expect is we didn't expect it takes longer to do things, you know, step by step, which is from product development to fundraising. We had plans to do the fundraising like 3 months. We had all the conversations, everything set up. No, it took like 3 times more than that. So that is something that I always tell people, whatever you think, add another 6 months, and that's the reality. That's how it's going to work, which is, you know, for entrepreneurs, we want to make things happen fast, but everything has a process, and you have to go through the process no matter how long it's going to take. And second is, truly when we started Roybee, we knew we are on something special, but I wasn't expecting to get this much support and traction from people, community, media. Just this morning, CNBC named Roybee 100 most world's most promising startup to watch. And that's just amazing. You know, we've been getting a lot of support, and I wasn't expecting that. And it just get us truly going. Like sometimes working 48 hours straight, and I'm not joking, but it really gives us that energy to move forward because we know we are on something really special here.
I think that that's a testament of two things. One, that you have created a really amazing product.
Thank you.
Two, how desperate people are for getting rid of the usual education system.
Yes.
And well, now that you have mentioned how hard you had to work, it is great because it fits into the next question that I wanted to make, which is, whenever you feel overwhelmed or unfocused, what do you do to try to get back to your center? Because I'm sure that you have felt like that a couple of times.
A lot of time, not just a couple of time, almost every day. every day something crazy comes up. Like I sleep, I wake up in the morning, then a news comes from factory. Oh, unless we have delay, this happened. Okay, that's fine. But what I really try to do is, since beginning the company, we've been taking a lot of notes, pictures from the moment. Sometimes when I'm truly overwhelmed, I just go back and see where we were, like even just a few months ago, and where we are today, and truly motivates me because I can see the difference, the huge difference that we are making day by day, and that really, really motivates me. And also, we have an amazing team. It's truly everybody in our company is like family member. And when I'm frustrated, I just talk to my team very openly, and they're always there to support me by my side. And I'm also always there, because even my partner, my CTO, our engineers, they get frustrated. Things happen, right? And we have deadlines. So these are the things, at least we do at Roybee.
Nice. And how would you rate to have that kind of support? Because, I was one of the cases that when I started entrepreneurship, like all the people that was around me thought I was crazy and that I was an idiot for trying. And
the crazy people are the ones that change the world.
Yes.
Steve Jobs said.
and it took me about 3 to 4 years to get the support from these people who were my yes. family actually and people who were really close to me, like to understand, oh yeah, he's not really that crazy, like he's having something working on. So in your case, you did have the support of the people surrounding you. So how important would you say that is, like to get somebody who actually supports you? Because even though I didn't have that, I was lucky to have my group of entrepreneurs that I was able to get in, and that was one of the most amazing things for me.
Absolutely. I always say I am so lucky to be surrounded by truly amazing and supportive people, including my family from the beginning. I truly put them in a very different and difficult situation several times. But as I mentioned to you, we ran out of money, so many things happened, really stressful times. But they were the very first people continuously reminding me it is okay and I'll just move forward. And then my partners, the same thing. We always support each other. And I think, when you really want to make a difference and do something that helps people, it's just that I don't know how universe works, but you just get connected to people that care about this mission. And somehow they just try to support you, help you, even make introductions to other people that they think they would be able to help, even if they cannot help and support. And honestly, it's always been that way for me. And I always make sure to let those people know how grateful I am for the support, because we are getting a lot of support from so many people, companies, and again, even like you today, giving us the opportunity to talk more about Roybee. So thank you.
You're welcome. And yeah, I think like this is one of the topics that are not maybe talked enough in entrepreneurship, the importance of having a special group that actually believes in you and supports yes. you. And because when things get hard, it is really easy to doubt oneself, right?
Yes, and everybody should know, you can't always find everybody to support you. So it's going to take some time. It's like you cannot make everybody happy, right? So it's the same pretty much concept. It's just going to take time to find the right people, right group, organizations to care about what you are doing and then gradually supporting you along the way. So I always suggest, don't give up. You will find people. Even for our investments, I always used to say, we just need one right investor to start with us, believe in us, and then everything else is going to move fast. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, and this is what you just mentioned here is really, really important, because I made this mistake too, like this idea that you have to win everything or even a big percent of things, when in reality what entrepreneurship is like you're going to test 100, 200, even 1,000 things, but even if one or two of them work out, this win is enough. That win is
absolutely enough. Absolutely. And finding those right people and right things take time. Really take time. There are like billions of people in this world. Finding that right person to start with is going to take some time and effort for sure.
Yeah, and even like in my case, like we do animated videos for companies and tech startups and things like that. And even when it comes to clients in that kind of services, like when you get a bad client, when you didn't took the time to check if that what that client was a good fit for you, that can create not only a headache for you, but also to the client itself. So it's really a drag to kind of that situation. But when you get a really good client that values your service, values what you do, and you also value him, like one of the rules my friends are who are entrepreneurs are starting to get is like, if the client is not somebody who I will not take for a beer, then I don't want them.
That's true. You know, with whomever you want to get involved as a business partner, as an investor or advisor, you should really think, do you want to take this person's phone call, for example, for the next 3 to 5 years? Do you really want to respond to this person whenever they call? If the answer is yes, it means, you know, you truly care about what that person is doing, their company, their business. So it's a lot of thinking, but not always it's going to work out. But this is how it works.
Yeah, and sometimes it's not that obvious. So, for example, I got my best friend is somebody who I know since I've been seven, and he's like a really nice developer. And at a point I had a business doing websites, web design and app development when the apps were starting out. So many people saw us and they thought, well, why don't you join together and work together? Now, in our case, like even if we are best friends, we knew so well each other that there was something inside us telling us, even though we are best friends, if we were to work together as partners, we will not work that way.
Like, probably, yes.
Yeah, it would, because he had different values and what he wanted.
It is different, for sure.
But if we didn't have that kind of self-awareness, we would probably have made that mistake. That think, oh, we're best friends, let's join together, let's work together. And then it would have been a nightmare. So sometimes that is not that obvious.
Yeah, but it's also a learning curve. You know, if anything that happens during, you know, building the company, it's in the entrepreneurship journey. It's just a learning process, and if you make the same mistake twice, yes, that's an issue, but, you know, you have to learn, you have to make mistakes, learn, and then that's why, you know, you would be able to make something great happen.
Definitely. And in the last years, has been there, like, in this path, a lesson, a habit, a new belief, or a behavior that you have learned that has improved a lot your life? It can be life in general, or it can be life just in the professional area. Up to you.
That's actually a really interesting and good question. Over the past 3 years, personally, I believe, and I heard this from a lot of people, that even myself changed during the whole process, because you have to continuously change yourself. be it different situations, different people. And one thing I really realized is you have to really be a good listener. First listen, and then, you know, take some time, think about it, and then take actions. A lot of times I see, you know, people, I talk to them and they're just ready to respond back. And sometimes like, okay, please do listen first. And I realize it makes a really huge difference in being able to be a good leader or in whatever you are doing, listening to feedback, advice, all really good. But of course, ultimately, you can make your own decision. But I'd say that's one really big thing that I learned, and I'm continuously trying to improve. And that's what I can only recommend to people.
Nice. And if you were to meet like a student that is very smart and driven, and let's say is about to enter the real world, let's call it that way, what advice would you give that person? And but also, what advice should that person ignore?
I would say keep trying and believe in yourself and abilities. It's okay if you start an idea, even 10 ideas, fails, do not give up, continue, and at least really one of it will take you to your dreams and goals. And the same for me. Before I started Roybe, I had little things on the side, failed, you know, but I learned a lot. And then even today with Roybe, that we've done so many great things, still we are learning, still it's in the beginning. And what I would say in terms of, you know, not to do is not really pursuing the dreams that you have, because the time is limited. So it's really important to work on what you truly enjoy, even if it's as a side project, and gradually develop it. But really take the time to get to know yourself and the dreams that you have.
Awesome. And now that you are in the middle of this and have created this amazing project, and you have been involved into the world of entrepreneurship, and let's say you have the your finger on the pulse of education a little bit more than, or much better than most people do, what are the potential changes that you see, or the potential opportunities that you see for the future, be it either in business or in the education system? What is something that you think is going to be coming up in the next 10 years that is going to change the game?
I believe with the technology today, especially with artificial intelligence and machine learning, what I can see as an opportunity is to be able to utilize this information and help children to get better education as they go to different levels. For example, just think about it. If, you know, from the age 3, we start learning about children, knowing what they're good at, where they need more help, and what their interests are. When they get into like high school, let's say, we know a lot about their educational needs, and we would be able to implement a system to help them to focus on those areas and be more successful in the future as they enter the workforce. And I do see this could gradually be a big opportunity in terms of where we can change and help children. But how long it's going to take, who knows? But of course, step by step.
Yeah, and I think something that is worth mentioning as well is that when education becomes efficient, like you can learn a lot faster and a lot better.
Yes.
So when I, before joining entrepreneurship and before starting getting mentors online and people who taught me about this, I was one of the persons who thought, that because of the model of universities, that you it will take 5 years for you to learn something decently. And what I learned is that what I was able to learn in 1 year, but when I really focused on learning that and I had good mentors and I had the right material and the right exercises, what I was able to learn in a year was way more than I was able to learn in the whole 5 years and in school and in college. And the same happened with courses. So for example, I studied graphic design for about 2 years. And it was very slow pace. And then I got this course that back in the day was like one of the best courses there were, but and now I don't think it's not even on sale anymore. it was called Photoshop Top Secret, and it was a set of 5 DVDs. And when I went through those DVDs when I started like lending the courses to my friends, even people who had graduated from graphic design, they told me, I have learned way more in these 5 DVDs in just 1 month than in my entire career in college.
Yes.
And that's when I started like really understanding, oh yeah, like we can really, really, really learn a lot.
Yes.
If we really focus and we have the right material, if the right mentor and things like that, right?
Yes, I think that's why a lot of companies, including Roybe, started not really caring about degrees. Honestly, if you start watching YouTube videos, you almost can get your MBA just online, and you don't have to go through years of school. Of course, it's a good experience, but it's just that things have changed. You know, you don't need to spend 3, 4, 5 years, as you can learn so many things by just using internet from the experts. And I think that's, as you mentioned, that's going to be a huge change, that gradually people are not going to ask for your degree. They're really going to ask for your skills and, you know, how tech savvy you are, because it's going to change, make a huge difference.
Definitely. And I'm going to make you a really, really hard question. I think it's the hardest question that I have got in my set, but let's say you wake up tomorrow in a different dimension and nobody knows about you, but you have all your skills, all your knowledge, all your experience, you have your place to live, everything you need, and $500 in your pocket. What do you do to get back to this point, professionally speaking, as soon as possible?
Who said I want to come back? Maybe I enjoy doing something great there. Who knows, right? that's the answer to your question. I use that 500 later to analyze what I can do with it in the new place. Who knows? It's a new opportunity.
Well, yeah, could be. So, what? Or let's put it in another way. If you have to do everything again, but with the experience that you have now, what would you do different to try to shorten the time?
Honestly, I don't think you can really shorten the time, because anything you do, it just takes time. For anything great you want to make happen, it's gonna take time. But of course, the only thing is we wouldn't make the same mistakes that we did previously. At my first company, we did so many mistakes, some of them truly stupid, excuse my language, but that's what happened. I was so much younger, leading a team, a company, a global company, with products in all the retail stores. So we made a lot of mistakes, lost a lot of money. But we learned. So we are not going to do the same mistake. So it's going to help to shorten the duration of some of the processes, but still everything is going to take time.
Yeah, I tell my friends that when you do entrepreneurship and you open a business, no matter what kind of business, the first 2 to 3 years, I tell them, It's not necessarily true for everybody. Of course, there are exceptions, but generally speaking, you're going to eat shit. And the reason that you're going to eat shit is because you're going, all the mistake and all the stupid decisions that you can take, you're going to make them into those years.
Oh yeah, definitely. Even after that, you know, things happen, and then you look at them like, oh my God, why did I make that decision? But you have to make those decisions, you know, to get to a place that you are today, right?
Yes, definitely. Well, is there any last lesson or any last advice that you would like to give that you think is important and that we haven't talked into this interview yet?
I just want to mention that, you know, it's an amazing journey when you want to become an entrepreneur, but you really need to understand the risk involved and also be strong enough to really face these problems and knowing you will definitely get to your dreams and goals as long as you put time and face the problems. Now, I know we a little bit talked about it, but I continuously get the questions that people ask me, how did you get this and that, this press or the product or so many things? I'm like, honestly, I think persistence. And that's something that I really want to, you know, mention, that anything is possible as long as you really work for it.
Yes. Also, one question that I forgot to ask that I just remember. I assume that you're not the one creating the whole robot thing, like the whole robotics, that you have other people as well helping you out with things that you, like, what is like to manage a team of people who have skills that you do not have? I think that is very important to also know, because many times the excuse that I hear from other people is, I don't know how to do things. And just for example, I sell animated videos. I cannot animate anything. That's my partner. My partner is a genius in animation.
Yes,
but if I open like a Adobe After Effects or Premiere, I cannot do anything there. So what is it like from your perspective and your experience to handle a team of very smart people who are experts at doing things that you don't have the skills of doing?
Yes. You know, it is not possible for one person to know everything and be able to do everything, but you really need to trust the people that you work with, and that part is extremely important. And also being able to understand that there is a line of responsibilities that each person has, and you need to be respectful of that, and again, being able to trust the decisions that that person makes. To give you as an example, you know, my co-founder is also my CTO, and he makes final decisions on the technology. Of course, we talk about it, we talk about the details, but ultimately, that technology, that deep knowledge is not something that is my expertise. And at the end of the day, I trust his decision, I support that. If it fails, if there is a problem, that's okay. You know, it happens. We have to, again, fix it together and find another solution, because all of us are in the same boat with the same goal.
Yes. And I also think that it takes like amazing humility. And I have to admit that I had made some mistakes in my path of having my ego yes, in the way, and trying to act like, yeah, everybody, like only yes, I can do this thing right, and yes, then I delegate yes, to somebody who was more capable than me. Yes. And it's so obvious how yes, bad I was.
But you know, the good point is that you actually realize that, including myself, and that's why I mentioned to you, I realize I need to be a good listener. That means I need to listen to people in order to even trust them to make really important decisions for the company, even though I don't understand it, still I need to respect their skills. And again, if something goes wrong, it goes wrong. We have to fix it. And definitely. Yeah, I also learned that hard way. Everybody does.
Well, yeah, in this case, it's like if you, life is going to keep hitting you in the face with the same lesson until you get it.
Every day. You keep moving forward. And it makes it more interesting, right?
Yes, it definitely does. And if people want to find more about you and Rabbit Robot, will be the best place to do so?
The best place would be to go to our website. That is roybirobot.com. It's R-O-Y-B-I robot.com. And of course, I'm also on LinkedIn. So if anybody has questions, if there's something I can give advice, if I can just share my experience, you know, I'd be more than happy to do so.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, Ilnus, for being here and giving us your experience and talking about it. Because I think many people will learn a lot from this interview, and also I have learned a lot. So I truly appreciate that you have taken the time to be here. I know that you're really busy, so thanks a lot.
Thank you. Actually, thanks to you. Truly, truly appreciate your time and support for Roby. And again, if there is anything we can help, and just let us know for sure.
Awesome. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
If you have liked this interview, please click the like button below and also click on the subscribe and the bell icon. Or if you're listening this interview from your podcast in any favorite platform, please click the subscribe button to get notified for the next episode. Until next time.